Okay. Good morning, everyone. So my name is Leanne Roach, and I'm a PhD student with CHOGAS, which is the Agriculture Food Development Authority in Ireland. And I'm a PhD student under Carl, which you've seen present earlier. So the title of my presentation here is The Effect of Nitrogen Source and Nitrogen Stabilisers on Nitrous Oxide Emissions in Spring Barley in Ireland. So to give you a bit of background about why I'm doing this research, so in Ireland and in Europe as a whole, we have greenhouse gas reduction targets to meet. So under the Climate and Energy Package 2020, we must reduce our overall greenhouse gas emissions by 20%. Now if we look at this pie chart here, this shows us Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions for 2013. And if you look at the green section here, you can see that agriculture accounts for almost a third of our overall emissions. So this is an important sector to look at to try to reduce our overall emissions. Nitrogen fertilizer application to our soils produces nitrous oxide emissions, and this is an important gas as it is 310 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So for every kilo of nitrous oxide, we have 310 kilos of carbon dioxide. And the IPCC uses a default emission factor of 1% for estimating this. So for every kilo of nitrogen that's applied to the soil, it is estimated that 1% of this is lost as nitrous oxide gas. But is this figure accurate for use in our systems? As well as our greenhouse gas reduction targets, we have the National Emission Ceilings Directive, which is an EU-wide policy to reduce our ammonia emissions by 2030. And on the flip side of these environmental NLOS reduction targets, we also have our food security issues, where globally we need to increase our food supplies to feed a growing population. And in Ireland, we have our national FoodWise 2025 policy with a target to increase the value of our primary production by 65%. So how can we achieve these seemingly opposing targets of reducing our environmental end losses, but also maintaining our yields, if not increasing them, and achieving food security? And this leads on nicely to my project objectives, which were to develop nitrous oxide emission factors for Ireland and to refine our own national inventory, and then overall to assess different nitrogen fertiliser sources for reducing our gaseous emissions while maintaining or increasing our crop yields. So here I have a simplified version of the nitrogen cycle, and we can see calcium ammonium nitrate here, which is CAN. This is the most dominant nitrogen fertiliser that's used in Ireland, and it contains 27% nitrogen. Half of this is in the ammonium form, and half of this is in the nitrate form. Now this nitrate can be very easily lost from our soil system, either through leaching to our groundwaters, which is damaging for water quality, or it can be lost as nitrous oxide gas, and this is contributing to our greenhouse gas emissions. The other half of this nitrogen is in the ammonium form, and this can be quickly converted to nitrate and lost through the same pathways. Another form of fertilizer that's available in Ireland is urea, which contains 46% nitrogen. This is already two steps away from this nitrate pool, so we're not immediately contributing nitrate to the soil, so this gives us reduced nitrate losses. However, when urea is being converted to ammonium, we have a loss of ammonia through volatilization. So there are inhibitor technologies or nitrogen stabilizers that we can add to these fertilizer products to reduce these losses. And the first is the urease inhibitor. The product I have used for this experiment is NBTPT. And what this does is it acts on the soil enzyme urease to slow down this urea hydrolysis process and thereby reducing our ammonia volatilization. The second is the nitrification inhibitor, and I've used the DCD product here. And this slows down the nitrification, so the conversion of ammonium to nitrate. It thereby reduces our nitrate pool at any one time and reduces our overall nitrate losses. So moving on to the experimental design. So there was two contrasting sites used for this experiment, a short-term arable site and a long-term arable site. The short-term arable here was on a moderately draining sandy loam over a clay loam. And I say short-term arable, it has been in arable production for 6 years now. But I started this experiment back in 2013, and months before I started, there was a lot of manure application annually, with the last application occurring just a few months before I began this experiment. The long-term arable then has been in long-term spring barley production for over 20 years, and this is on a free-draining loam soil type. And you can see the difference in these two soils between the pictures. A randomized block design was used with 5 replicates of each treatment, and the treatments that were used were calcium ammonium nitrate, urea with the urease inhibitor, NBTPT, urea with the nitrification inhibitor, DCD, and urea with both of these inhibitors, as well as an unfertilized control plot. The nitrogen fertilizer rates ranged from 0 to 200 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, but for the purposes of today's experiment, I'm going to present to you the 150 kilos of nitrogen rate, as this is closest to our agronomic optimum that we use in Ireland. This is a picture here showing the individual fertilizer sources that I've used, so they're all granular products. And these were applied in two different splits. So 30 kilos of nitrogen was applied at sowing time, and then approximately 4 weeks later, the top dress of 120 kilos was applied at the mid-tillering stage. So this is an example of my plots in the field. This is taken from my long-term arable site, which is located in the southeast of Ireland. And there are two plots. So I have a large plot, which is 12 metres by 2.5 metres. And from this is where we measure our yield, which is done with a Bosch combine harvester and occurred in August in both years. And adjacent to this plot, I have a smaller 6 metres by 2.5 metres plot. This is where I measure my nitrous oxide emissions using the static chamber. And I also took soil samples to measure soil mineral N analysis. As well as this, I've measured ammonia emissions using passive shuttles. And I have also measured nitrate leaching using flux meters, but this data won't be presented here today. So if I move on to results then. So the first graph I show you is the temporal emissions of nitrous oxide over the year, and I've just took an example of this to show you. So this is the long-term arable site for 2014. And I have grams of nitrous oxide nitrogen per hectare per day on the y-axis, and the date is along the x-axis. So the first arrow here shows us the 30 kilos of nitrogen applied, and you can see a very small peak in emissions after this application. 120 kilos of nitrogen was then applied at the mid-tillering stage, and we can see another peak in emissions after this application. But once all of the fertilizer has been applied, approximately 4 to 6 weeks later, all the emissions reduce to background levels, and they stay there for the remainder of the year. If we look at this peak to see which fertilizer is giving us our highest emissions, it's coming from CAN, which is the red line, urea, the green line, and the purple line, which is urea with the urease inhibitor. They're the ones giving us the three highest emissions. The control level then is the orange line here, and the two DCD treatments in the blue are mapping that. So they've given us reduced emissions compared to the other fertilizers. If we look at this on a cumulative basis, so here I'm showing grams of nitrous oxide N per hectare per year, and I have the short-term arable and the long-term arable. Now the first thing to note is the difference in the scale. The long-term arable site is 10 times lower than the short-term arable site. If you remember back to the materials and methods, I explained that before I began my experiment on this particular site, it received organic manure annually. And I measured nitrous oxide emissions before I applied my fertilizer, and there was quite high emissions coming from this site. So there is not only a site effect, but there's a site history at this particular site that's having an effect. And although the trend is here, there's no significant differences between the treatments. And we can see a similar trend at the long-term arable site. If we look at our cumulative emissions for 2014 then, so the scale here has reduced, so that short-term arable site, the emissions have reduced down. And again, I have grams of N2N per hectare per year here. But again, at the short-term arable site, these are quite variable results, so again, we can't detect the significant differences. But if we look at our long-term arable, even though the emissions are lower, we can detect significant differences here. So our CAN, urea, and urea with the urease inhibitor are giving us our highest, and these are significantly higher than the unfertilized control. And then the two blue represent the DCD treatments, which are not significantly different from the control. So these, again, are reduced emissions compared to the other treatments. If we look at our nitrous oxide emission factors then, so here I have both sites in both years, and comparing them to the IPCC default, which is 1% that is used in Ireland. The numbers in green are lower than that default, and the numbers in red are higher. The first thing that you're going to notice is the two red numbers here, which were for the short-term arable in 2013. And as I explained, the history of organic manure is having an effect, and this is why we have high emissions in this year. If we look at 2014, all of these have reduced considerably compared to the IPCC default. And for the long-term arable overall, these are all much lower than the IPCC default, regardless of the nitrogen fertilizer source used. But with the addition of the urease inhibitor, the nitrification inhibitor DCD, these emission factors can actually be further reduced. If we look at our ammonia emissions then, so here we have the ammonia emissions from urea for both sites in 2014, and I have cumulative percent nitrogen loss on the y-axis. Now this is quite a substantial loss, so 30% of our nitrogen was lost as urea for the short-term arable, and it's about 20% for the long-term arable. This is a substantial loss of nitrogen from the system. And as well as being lost as ammonia, this can be redeposited on the land and subsequently lost as nitrous oxide gas, again, contributing to that greenhouse gas emissions. But if we add in the urease inhibitor, NBTPT, we can reduce this loss of ammonia to 84% reduction is what I've seen in the short-term arable site. And this is an 86% reduction for the long-term herbal site. So the addition of that urease inhibitor can protect against this ammonia loss. If we look at our grain yields then, so I had a poster here yesterday in the session, number 621, showing grain yield and nitrogen recovery. Well, I'll just give you a snapshot here of two of the sites for 2014, with grain yield in tonnes per hectare on the y-axis. So all of the fertiliser treatments over the two sites produced higher than the control levels, which you would expect. But the main thing to take from this is that regardless of the end fertiliser source used, our yield was the same. So grain yield was similar regardless of this end source used. So to conclude then, first of all, nitrous oxide emissions. These were generally low from spring barley. The IPCC default emission factor of 1% overestimated these emissions, and the project I'm working on is currently developing more accurate emission factors. The emission factor calculated for urea with the urease inhibitor was 80% lower than the IPCC default. So what's currently estimated in Ireland for spring barley is 5 times higher than what I've measured for this experiment. This highlights the importance of developing country-specific emission factors. If we look at our ammonia emissions then, the addition of that urease inhibitor, NBTPT, reduced our ammonia emissions compared to urea, and we've seen up to an 86% reduction. And our grain yield was similar regardless of the end source used. So overall, changing nitrogen fertilizer is a mitigation strategy for reducing gaseous emissions and maintaining grain yields. And I'd just like to acknowledge the funding sources for this and all the field and lab staff that helped me. And I thank you for your attention and take any questions you may have. That's not something I've looked at, but I was actually in a talk this morning looking at degradation of the urease inhibitor NBTPT. That actually degrades quite quickly in the soil. Probably within 8 to 10 days, it's gone. But we did see, like from the ammonia emissions, we've seen that the effect is there. It's reducing those emissions compared to urea. So it's doing what we need it to do.
Any more questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.